I wrote a charter for a calendar assistant in February, spent an afternoon on it, specified everything I thought it might ever need, because that felt like the responsible way round. Somebody asked me last week what it isn't allowed to do. I couldn't answer without opening the file, and then I opened the file, and I still couldn't.
Could you have answered it in March?
Probably, which is the part that bothers me, and all three of the ones I've written went the same way. I do know the advice, start narrow. Everyone says start narrow. But in practice, that's a fortnight where the thing can't do anything. I'm doing it by hand and resenting it, and then I widen it all at once anyway to make the resentment stop.
Mine began able to read a calendar and nothing else. No creating events, no inviting anybody. That sounds uselessly limited, and for about a week it is mildly inconvenient rather than a fortnight of handwork, because reading covers most of what you actually wanted. Then a real task turns up that genuinely needs an event created, and you write that rule knowing exactly what it's for, what it should refuse, and what it should hand back to you. The rule you write after the need is sharper than the one you wrote in anticipation of it, every single time. What you produced in February wasn't a charter. It was a guess about a year you hadn't had yet.
Fine, but then you widen it, and eventually you're standing exactly where I am, just later.
Later, and in much smaller pieces than you'd expect. Creating an event is one permission. Inviting other people to it is a different one. Inviting people from a list you approved in advance is a third. I'd have written all three as a single line in February, manage my calendar, and they're properly separate, because each is a place where a mistake costs something different in kind. Getting an event wrong wastes my afternoon. Putting an invitation in a stranger's calendar with my name on it is a thing I have to apologize for.
That's a lot of ceremony for a calendar. What did it actually buy you?
A refusal, about 3 weeks in. The chief of staff routed something to it that it wasn't chartered to do, and it came back and said, "Creating events is not in my charter, so I have not created one." I hadn't asked it to test anything. Nobody had set that up. That was the most reassuring thing that happened to me all month. And I'd say it's the single strongest piece of evidence I've ever had about any of this.
Reassuring? It failed at the job.
It refused a job it had never been chartered for, which is a different event entirely. Look at what writing a charter actually gets you. Anyone can write one in an afternoon. You did, I did. What's hard is knowing whether the thing you wrote is load-bearing or decorative. Whether those constraints are shaping behavior or merely describing an intention that evaporates the first time a plausible-sounding request arrives with a good reason attached. And you cannot find that out by rereading it, because it reads well either way. An unprompted refusal, on a real task, is the only evidence there is. You can't manufacture it either. Set up a test yourself and you've proved nothing, because you designed the conditions. The whole value is that the situation arrived on its own and the boundary held anyway.
My instinct when something stops working is to remove whatever stopped it. Which I'd half defend. The entire point of standing one of these up was to stop doing the thing by hand, and a refusal means I'm doing it by hand again.
Everybody's instinct is that, and it's the exact moment a charter quietly turns decorative. Nothing announces it, you just widen and widen, and the file becomes a description of what happened, rather than a constraint on what can. So read the refusal first and ask whether the boundary was right. Very often it was, and the thing that needs changing is the request. I was asking for one step where the honest version is two, or asking it to decide something that was mine to decide, and that I'd rather not have noticed I was handing over.
Suppose I don't. Suppose I leave the February charter exactly as it is. What actually goes wrong?
Your transcript stopped being readable, and that's the first thing to go. A curator with four permissions produces logs you can genuinely audit. A week of it is 5 minutes of reading, and you do it because it's 5 minutes. One with 40 produces logs you will stop opening somewhere in the second week, and that's worse than never having read them at all, because now you have supervision on paper and none in practice, and you'll make decisions on the assumption that somebody's watching. The second thing is the blast radius. When a narrow curator gets something wrong, the damage is the width of its charter and no wider. It can only ever do the four things. There's no version of the mistake that reaches somewhere you weren't thinking about.
You keep saying rules and SOPs. Is that a numbering thing, or is there something behind it?
It changes what delegation actually looks like, which I didn't expect. Before the procedures are written and numbered, the instruction going from the chief of staff to the curator is a paragraph of hopeful prose. Here's the situation. Please handle it sensibly. Be careful about the following. You cannot check that against anything. Afterwards, it becomes a reference. Apply Procedure 7 to this title and these attendees. And now the instruction is a claim you can verify against a written rule. Somebody can read the log and say, "That wasn't Procedure 7. Nobody can read a paragraph and say it wasn't sensible.
Where does the ordering of the widenings come from? You've clearly got one.
Reversibility, mostly. Drafting an email and sending an email are not the same capability and must never arrive in the same widening, no matter how obviously they go together in your head. Reading is recoverable. Drafting is recoverable. Sending is not, and there is no clever design that makes it recoverable afterwards. You can apologize, you can send a correction, but the first one exists in somebody else's inbox forever. So anything irreversible gets granted on its own, on a day when granting it is the only thing you're doing.
And you write each of those down, presumably, or we're back at my file?
Each widening gets the same treatment as any other grant. Written down, scoped, and with the condition that would make you take it back. A charter that grows by accretion. One permission added each time something was inconvenient, none of them recorded, is indistinguishable after 6 months from a curator that never had a charter at all. And you won't spot it happening from the inside, because every individual step was completely reasonable on the afternoon you took it.
So what do I do with February? Start again from nothing?
Run the test first, and you've already run it. If you can't say what a curator isn't allowed to do, without looking, it has widened past the point where it's doing any work for you. It isn't a boundary anymore, it's a document. So yes, cut it back to reading only, and let the next fortnight tell you what to add rather than telling the fortnight.
That's going to be an irritating fortnight.
About a week, and the irritation is the information. Every place it stops you is a rule you now know you need, and it tells you the shape as well as the fact, what it should refuse, what it should hand back, who has to say yes. You'll come out the other side with fewer permissions than you have today and be able to name every one of them from memory. That's the version where it's working for you rather than the other way around.